Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Vogue, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. Because we off the cuff right now. You dig?
What's up? It's your boy Lil Yap from LV, bragging up from the river, cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You hear me?
Tiffany Levine.
And it's Queen Crazy, your girl's favorite bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks podcast.
All right, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world hip hop. Yo, much love.
All right. Hey, y'all, this is Princess Daisy giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio. Keep doing your thing, puppy.
Hey y'all, this is Stacey Lachey giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real deal hip hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX Stand Up, Hud City, we're shaking. Peace.
Yo, this is Joe Fresh the Dime, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, uncut show on radio. The Guillotine Team, Off the Cuff, and yo, Eric Sandman, Off the Cuff Clown Head.
Savages. Yo, I leave this shit banging, fool. Yo, yeah, we're shaking, big homie.
What's happening, nigga?
Yada.
Yada.
S-A-V-A-G-E-S. Big rich master on me when I'm out in the west. Try to run down on me, you getting clipped. Every single nigga that you see me with the shit. S-A-V-A-G-E-S. Big rich master on me when I'm out in the west. Try to run down on me, you getting clipped. Every single nigga that you see me with the shit.
Every nigga with me dragging tatted. Matching like assassins. Lashing niggas for that ration. Niggas felt that action. They shout, got a Woodstock, this ain't camp at 50 shots, make a nigga pop lock, he break dance. I'm a savage for that paper. My goonies pulling up, busting cannons out the scraper. Go bananas with the cater, rack. Knock him down like flavor, that nigga clocked out. I never made a statement in life, I never copped out. Where the paperwork on them cases you niggas talk about? The same nigga hating, still faking and getting knocked out. Niggas doing live from the house, she gotta hide out. I'm red carpet, LA live with all the ice out. It's ice mouth, goddamn it, just spell the name right. You won't bust a grape, we bring bananas to the eight fight. You guppy niggas fucking with a great white, with the mind of Frank White. You niggas chatty patties, get your cake right, boy.
S-A-V-A-G-E-S. Big rich master on me when I'm out in the west. Try to run down on me, you getting clipped. Every single nigga that you see me with the shit. S-A-V-A-G-E-S. Big rich master on me when I'm out in the west. Try to run down on me, you getting clipped. Every single nigga that you see me with the shit.
S-A-V-A-G-E-S. I'm a motherfucking savage, bitch, nigga, oh yes. Niggas out here playing with me, but I'm not to be toy with. Waffle whip with the beam, I'm letting the phone spit. Hood like Rodney, but I'm short like Pesci. Wintertime, I'm minked up, warm as fuck with the Desi. I ride on a nigga, treat his ass like Kerouac. Always been small, but I'm one of the terrorists. I'm gully like Young, out here buzzing like Lil Baby. Got cocksucking non-rapping niggas that won't spray me. So I'm gripped up, homie, like the balls on a motorcycle. Indoor bar drinking scotch with a loaded rifle. I told Yuck if you smoke, then where the light at? All he gotta do is point him out and I'm a line of cat. One mob, I thought I told you how we rock. Ain't got time to squabble, no safety, I'm letting it pop. Burning on some goji, these rappers is so phony. Talking all this gangster shit, but they so corny. Never ever told how many of y'all can stay the same. A lot of niggas got firearms, but zero aim.
S-A-V-A-G-E-S, big Bushmaster on me when I'm out in the west. Try to run down on me, you getting clipped. Every single nigga that you see me with the shit. S-A-V-A-G-E-S, big Bushmaster on me when I'm out in the west. Try to run down on me, you getting clipped. Every single nigga that you see me with the shit.
Talking that King of New York shit.
Fuck out of here.
You dig? Really, really. Saying something about Tekashi, now everybody mad. But
mad.
I don't give a fuck, you making New York look bad. And I ain't hating the clout, chasing the little bit. But you went overboard talking that King of New York.
Niggas
shit.
Got a rainbow hair, child molester representing the bitty. No disrespect, but don't know how they let him blame Billy.
Aura energy wrong, young and they moving right. Protected by gangsters, so he talk like he bout that life. It's about progress, and this fool got us regressing. Rotten apple, concrete jungle, time to start G-checking. We fell from grace hard, the bar dimmed it down to the floor. One of the realest center, they can't say shit to the ball. And it's a fizzy, you know I keep the goopy, try to run down on me, it's gonna be a man dizzy, I hear you throwing subs in your little IG vids, but if they ain't directed to me, I don't respect the shit. Got other niggas talking for you like I gives a fuck. Was brought up by LOX, you know how I gives it up. Young niggas gravitate towards ignorance, so yeah, you lit, but no grown man go sit and listen to that garbage shit. Although I do respect your grind, but your approach wrong. Let a nigga like this lead the youth, won't be no hope for him. Who really got the nerve to say they the new death row? Wait, cut it out like a coupon, you a straight up hoe. Talking about you running billboards, you running from L's. Ain't got a dry snitch, this dummy telling on himself. His little stands always reporting when I post some shit. Guess they can't stand to see a capital G roasted bitch. Hell of an entertainer, that's about all that you are. Black Panther style, I jump all on the roof of your car. You don't speak for New York blood at you, want some goofy shit. And everybody that follow you want some mooky shit. This ain't about sets, I got the utmost for the G's. And you ain't one of the next word to the Bally Beans. Shirt off with my splits lit, yelling fuck this clown. On prospect with the hats when I'm Brooklyn bound. Say you ain't get touched, but tell niggas exactly why. Talking about you the king of New York, that shit don't fly. This guy a joker, need to be put on some playing cards. Ain't never put in the liquor work, he just playing hard. Something about Tekashi, now everybody mad. But I don't give a fuck, he making New York look bad. And I ain't hating the clout, chasing the little bit. But he went overboard talking that King of New York shit. That King of New York shit. That King of New York shit. And I ain't hating the clout, chasing the little bit. But he went overboard talking that King of New York shit.
Stomach like Jason Tatum, feel like Sway Lee when I'm in that foreign. I'm power glass, the Molly Motto, shoddy draping Da Vinci, gripping the rod. I fuck with real niggas like Magnums, no intercourse, reeking the medical marijuana and scotch up in the Porsche. My committee ruthless, heartless, heathens, that merkin chop. Distribute A1 to the junkies and weave the cops. How could I ever not be mentioned amongst the elite fans? Die before a multi, nigga, I'll be damned. Being self-made, individuality is admired. Grind hard to find, guard, and obtain what you desire. Why?
knows that he knows nothing. Shifty face, nigga, don't make me unload this ladder. And your muffin could be smaller than twa, or as big as the Jabari twa. Once I remove the arm out the stizzy nizzy, you all could die.
This your boy King Eric the Great, and you are not tuned in at Off the Cuff Radio, sponsored by Da Vinci Clothing and Cocaine's Buddy Boy Entertainment. This is a special episode, episode 220, and the reason why we wanted to do this one is because we have a special guest on the line tonight. This guy here, he ran and co-founded D-Block, one of the hardest crews in hip-hop. They went toe-to-toe with some of the hardest crews in rap, from State Property, G-Unit, and for friendly competition purposes, Dipset for New York Supremacy in the 2000s. Now he's out on his own. He has a new album titled Joshua out on all streaming platforms. Be sure you get that. Let's all welcome my man, Jay Hood, to the show.
Yo, yo, what's shaking with it, bro?
What's good, man? Now, before we get this going, I got to give you this round of applause right here for What's going on with you, bro? How's everything going with you?
Hey, man, same old two-step, different dance floor, man. You already know. So we're watching this game and all that. That's about it. Grind mode.
Straight to it, man. And first thing first, man. I'm riding solo tonight, so we want to thank you for taking this time to chop it up with us. So we know you're a busy guy. You know you got a lot
love,
of things
man.
Lined up.
Definitely
and you
all
got
love.
You about to rock with us in the Carolinas. You got the All-Star Weekend. You got going.
Yeah, that's a big fact. Big fact, man. I'll be at Club Mirage on February 15th, man. Everybody pull up. Show your boy some love. It's my B-Day Bash / single release party. You know, we're going to be turned up. We got two video shoots the next day. So, you know, work with your boy.
Stay busy, man. So, tell us about this Joshua album, man. I've been playing that joint since last week. Joint is straight fire, man. Like, how's the public perception has been for it so far?
Hey, first and foremost, I appreciate that, man. Definitely means a lot. I mean, to be completely honest with you, man, me personally, I feel like this is my most, I think, personal and most honest album that I ever put out. You know what I mean? Like, for the simple fact, I feel like I'm letting the people in on who I really am. You know what I mean? Not just J Hood, but Joshua, you know, as opposed to just, you know, Hood, the artist. I'm putting my flaws out there. I'm letting people know my hardships that I had to endure, the trials and tribulations, you know, that I went through, and, you know, things of that nature. And I'm also trying to show a different side of me. So with all that being said, that's basically what the Joshua Project is about. But, I'm getting a lot of good feedback. You know, it's an independent effort, so it's not in a lot of places where it needs to be as of yet, but it's still being pushed, and a lot of people still picking it up. So, you know, it's pretty good so far.
Yeah, what I like about the album, too, man, is, like, it takes it back to that classic New York-style flavor. You know what I mean? Because I feel that's missing, because, you know, you got that within the game today, everything feel like it's just being made to please suits, to please industry. Please, the industry pretty much, but we just went back to the basics of crafting an album that pays homage to that classic East Coast sound that we love.
Right, right. I mean, that was definitely the aim. You know, mix it up with a little bit of consciousness, mixed with lyricism, mixed with that the classic production, real hip hop type shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sir. And another thing, too, is you dropped a project with Yuck Mouth, and a lot of folks thought this was a very odd pairing, but you guys got that chemistry and you made it work. How did you make that connection?
Yeah, it's funny, man. Yuck the big bro, man. I met Yuck a long time ago, back in probably like, I'd say like 02. I was in Miami roasting somebody, man, on Collins, I think. I was battling a couple dudes. And him and one of the other regime homies was watching the battle. And they seen me give it to a couple cats, and you know we kept in contact ever since. And he put me on a couple of his projects a couple years ago, and I threw him on a few of mine. And you know we just came up with the idea. We like, you know what, man, let's do a mixtape. Well, actually, my idea was to do a mixtape. I'm like, let's do a mixtape, bro. And da da da. He like, nah, listen. Screw a mixtape, let's put together an actual album, because, you know, we over here doing an independent thing real heavy in the bass, so we all about getting that indie bread, so let's just do an album, screw a mixtape, let's get some bread for real. So I'm like, all right, I'm all for it. So we was cooking up, working on that project for about 3 to 4 years, you know, due to me and him having different schedules and doing different things, but we finally put it all together. I went out to Cali for a little bit, we wrapped it up, shot a few videos, and put it out through Empire. You know, he a dope lyricist, I'm a lyricist.
Yeah, how did you guys come up with the theme title for Savages? Like, what was the theme behind that concept?
I mean, we both savages on the mic. We attacked the music from a savage level. You know, so we was like, you know what, man, let's just call it Savages. You know, actually it was Yuck's idea. You know, he painted the picture to me, and I agree with it. I'm like, you know what, that's it, you're absolutely right. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, it also parallels with that relationship that New York has with the Bay, because you also had Freeway and the Jacka.
Yeah,
Styles
P and
Collette.
What's the boy name, man? Man, I can't remember his name, but SP did one with one of the homies from over there too.
Yeah, Cormega, he did one. Cormega, he did one with Jack, I believe, too.
Yeah.
So it was a good thing.
So, you know, it's the connection, man. It's like the, you know, that East Coast, West Coast thing, man, you know. They definitely wasn't ready for it. They wasn't even expecting that. That's the beauty of it, you know what I mean? They're like, yo, Yuck Mouth and Jay Hood, what the hell that came from? How the hell, you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. The element of surprise is what did it to them. And if you check out the album, it's like nothing but quality music. Quality lyricism, the production's on point, A1, and, you know, it's a well-put-together project.
Yeah, honestly, bro, when I first heard the collab, bro, I thought, wow, this is very odd, you know, but never judge a book by its cover. And I've seen the video.
Yeah, I'll be trying to put my East Coast,
I'll
be trying to put a lot of my East Coast homies up on Yuck. I'm like, listen, man, Yuck ain't there, not to take nothing away from nobody in the West, but Yuck is like a real lyricist. He ain't like your average West Coast artist. Like, he reminds me of like an East Coast artist as far as lyricism goes. So he, you know, he really on that spitting tip. I'll be trying to tell dudes that. I'm like, listen, man, he on this shit.
Oh yeah, man. Especially when I heard his first album, the double album, Obulation, I think Thugged Out. That showed me right there that he was a legit spitter.
Yeah, spitting gas.
But going to your career right now, man, and, you know, we want to give our audience an indication of who you are, what you bring to the table, and basically the impact that you left, man. Like, what was your, like, startups in music? Like, who was your musical inspiration?
To keep it a rack with you, man, I came up listening to all the original OGs, you know, real OGs in the music game, man. Nas, of course. Pac is my favorite rapper, so of course Pac. Boot Camp, Click, Black Moon, Helter Skelter, Outkast, Goody Mob, goddamn, you know, N.W.A. Listen to a little bit of Bone Thugs and Harmony, Tribe Called Quest, Kool G Rap. You know, all the greats, man. Throw some Biggie in there. Definitely Hov. you know?
Yeah, you definitely was a student of the craft.
Yeah, Smith and Wesson, too, can't leave them out.
And I think that's what's missing with a lot of these youngsters coming up, because I could tell by the way when I first heard you, I could tell by the way you executed the punchlines that you studied a lot of the greats. And musically,
yeah,
you was getting, you was involved. And then when you got with the Locks, it was like even you was holding your own, because at that time the Locks were like monsters on the mic. So you to come
that's
in
a fact.
There and come in there and hold your own like that, I'm like, who is this dude here?
Yeah. See, that's what a lot of people don't know, man. They try to downplay that because of how the situation played out. But yo, dudes gotta be real with themselves, man. I was on tracks with three of the illest lyricists at 16, holding my own, and on some verses burning them. So that was something that other grown men couldn't even do at that time. So you know what it is. Like, we had great chemistry. Our chemistry was unmatched, and it was just a great thing. You know what I mean? Like, it was a good time for hip hop. I learned a lot from them. Had a lot of awesome times, and we got some classic shit.
Yeah, man, because I remember, I think, now maybe my memory's a little bit fuzzy, but I think I first heard you when you was on there with them doing the 9-minute freestyle. Now, were you a part of that with Flex?
9-minute freestyle. Actually, the first time I was on the radio was Kiss took me up to Clue when he dropped his first album. I went up there. He brought me, a guy by the name of Tiger Bone, and a guy named Black Jesus from Yonkers. He took all of us up to Clue, and that's when I kicked my classic freestyle that I got, the Bulletproof Hoodies joint. I kicked like 80 bars up there and all that.
Man,
so that was my first time on the radio.
They came and put together a solid 8, let alone 80 bars. That was official back then.
Yeah, I actually wanted to keep going, but Kiss cut me off. He like, yo, that's enough, man. That's enough for like 3 mixtapes, Clue. Nah. And I didn't want to stop. I shouldn't have stopped, to be honest. I had more. I was trying to gas him. It was a good time.
You know what's wild about that period too, bro, is it was a spitters period. You had to come up there. You had to come up with your blaze sharper.
Facts. I'll be trying to tell dudes that, like, look, man. Like, don't get me wrong. The game... The state that the game is in right now, it's good for the young cats because they're able to generate revenue, and it's easier, and they have more platforms, and they have more ownership, and you know, things of that nature. But it was a little bit harder to get in the game when I came in. You know what I'm saying? You had to actually possess skill. You had to be nice. If you wasn't nice, you wasn't even getting recognized. They wasn't even trying to hear you or none of that. Had to be clever. You had to have sharp bars, period.
Yeah, because when I'm painting the picture of how it was, because, you know, I was around that period as well. Like, around the late 90s to the 2000s. I'm from here.
Where's
here?
Here,
but see, I used to get Raleigh, North Carolina. We used to
oh, see, that's, yo, I'm going to tell you a secret. Man, I was born in Wake Medical, man. You feel
oh,
me?
Man, for real?
I was born in Wake Medical. I moved to Greensboro, lived out there for a little while, moved to Charlotte, and then I ended up moving to New York at 13. So I'm a New Carolinian, man.
Who would have thought? Because I was born in Wake Med too, brother.
That's crazy.
Man. True Carolina baby in the house tonight, man. Call numbers 1-619-924-0703. We got my man Jay Hood in the building. Represent Da Vinci Clothing. We in here.
It's a big fact.
So that explains why that connection, when you like, it's like when you come out here and you see the Rough Riders connection heavy in the Carolinas, because when they came out with the motorcycles, everybody was on it. Heavy
yeah.
out here in North Carolina.
Yeah, I'm always out here in the CAC. Always.
Yes, sir.
Actually, a lot of my family is out here, so I'm always back and forth.
Yeah, only on Off the Cuff Radio where we get exclusive like that.
That's a big fact, man.
That makes the dynamic even more interesting.
Yeah. People don't know. It's a lot, man. We moved up to New York on a off a dream, man. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I was actually supposed to get signed to EMI Records when I was 11 or 12. I got discovered by, forgot this lady's name. She was a representative of EMI Records. EMI is not around now, but I was supposed to be signed. They wanted to fly me up to New York and sit me down in the office, sign me, and talk about the deal and how it was going to be structured. But, you know, they let my mother know that it was going to require me to miss a certain amount of time in school, and she wasn't going for that, so turned the deal down. We ended up moving to New York at 13, and shit, we ain't even had no real plan. She just thought that if I moved to New York, I would have a better chance of me chasing my dreams. So we moved to New York, lived in a shelter for a little while. She got on her feet, moved to Yonkers. I wasn't familiar with the Locks. I found out, you know, there was a group that was signing a Puff. So, you know, I was hungry. I was chasing my dreams. So I'm like, you know what? Let me go find these dudes. They supposed to be the biggest dudes out here. Did a little research on them, found out where they hung at. Took it upon myself to go hang where they hung. I even went to Sheik's crib. You feel what I'm saying? With my demo on the flyer, knocked on his door, left my demo on flyer with his uncle, man. Then started hanging where they hung at until they recognized me. Jumped in a couple ciphers. You know, burned a couple dudes. Made my presence be known. I even took it a step further. While we was in the shelter, my mom befriended a lady that happened to be from Harlem. And it just so happens that she was a close friend of Mace's mother. So she ended up telling me where Mace's mother lived at. Man, I went to Mace's mother crib with my demo and all that. I'm like, listen, man, I need to see your son. Let your son know da-da-da came over, and this is, you know, this is my demo. So I was hungry. I was trying to chase it.
Man, when you guys, anybody listening to the show right now, I'm going to tell y'all a little dude something. Y'all got it good compared to how we had it back there. Because you, only thing you can do now is just record your little song and dance on YouTube. And you could blow up within your living room. You ain't had to do what my man had to do. You had to go literally from state to state.
That's a fact.
Chasing everybody.
And people don't know is I was supposed to actually be signed to Rough Riders before we started D-Block. I was supposed to be signed to Rough Riders. I used to be up in there battling everybody. Me and Cass used to be going at it for hours. They used to bring people down in Rough Riders. They used to call it the dungeon. Bring everybody from different states down to just to go at it. It used to be lasting for hours. I used to go straight from the studio, straight to school in the next morning. From stay in the studio from that night to go right back to school at 7:30 in the morning. They used to drop me off at school, and this was in middle school. So it started from there.
Hey. And then this period here, you get on with D-Block. This is the thing.
Yeah, people don't know that. Let me just make this clear.
Mm-hmm.
The Locks are the Locks. That's a three-man group because a lot of people get this misconstrued. The Locks are SP, Kiss, and Styles. That's a three-man group. All right. We came up and sat down collectively with the idea to start D-Block, which was the label. You know, the whole plan was for me to be the first artist. Okay, we co-founded that together collectively. You know, we started that and we started dropping freestyles to the underground and started building a buzz. A lot of people get D-Block confused with the Locks. The Locks is a three-man group. D-Block came about after I came aboard. So, just to clear that up.
Good looking out. You get everything certified and soft and off the cuff radio right here. You heard it just now. And going through that time period, I could tell it was wild because hip hop was like a jungle back then, man. Like you had so many crews coming out, especially in New
Facts.
York. You had Mobb Deep, you had Terror Squad, you had the Wu Tang, you had Rockefeller, Rough Riders, Boot Camp. Then you had the
Oh yeah, New York was flooded. Flooded, and then you even had people that, you know, you had the Philly boys too, man. You had State Prop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was wild.
And eventually that situation happened when you guys clashed with State Prop. And I gotta say this, man, I'm gonna tell you this directly. That's probably my all time favorite battle. Y'all niggas went hard. Both of y'all.
Yeah, I can't even hold you. That was definitely a that was a fun time, man. Everybody sharpened their skills. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it was cool. It was a good time. It wasn't cool like that because it was real, but you know,
yeah.
It's something that that can't be taken away.
And you know what's cool about that time period though was that even though y'all were going at it heavily, it also improved y'all musically as well. Like it made y'all up the ante.
Facts. But we actually liked them. You know what I mean? That was the funny thing about it. You know, a lot of people just think we were just enemies. We actually liked their music. You know what I mean? So it was kind of a mutual respect. But at the same time, you got to violate them because they're trying to violate you. So, you know, even with the whole 50 thing, you know, we liked their music too. I was the one that was bringing. I used to bring G Unit CDs to the studio. Like I ain't gonna hold you. You gotta listen to this. They trying to come hard. Da da da. So I used to make them aware of what these dudes was doing. That's why on the I forgot which diss it was, but SP, when we was going at 50 and them, he was like, some Hood even liked the bitch. He was talking about 50 like he was a chick. Like, Hood even liked the bitch. Da 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 da. Because he know I used to bring their CDs to the studio just to put them on. Like, yo, look, listen to this. You gotta do your research on people that are supposed to be, you know what I mean, so-called arch nemesis and all that. You got to study them.
That right there, it seemed like a bit lopsided, but you know, both of y'all crews brought it.
Yeah, that's a fact.
And it also made New York hip hop like the place to be. Like nobody.
Nigga,
got
the early
hurt, 2000s
was different, man.
Mm-hmm. And which takes us to this period here, like, who do you feel like is making it happen for New York today on the East Coast in general?
For the East Coast.
Aside from
East Coast,
you,
meaning
aside
like the whole
yourself.
East Coast, or are you talking about down south?
East Coast.
I mean, talking about New York, I meant to say, excuse me.
Yeah.
For New York, New York. I mean, to be completely honest, I can't even like really. Let me see. Who's in New York right now? That's going hard.
I could go and throw you one.
Oh, matter of fact, I'm bugging. I'm gonna tell you who I like. I'm gonna tell you who I like. I like Conway and West Side Gun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I definitely rock with them.
The whole Griselda movement. I like what they got going on.
Yeah. Definitely.
Got them dudes, they coming with that ice pick type music there. And those beats there.
Yeah, they real original with that as far as the production goes. But they remind me of something similar to D-Block. What we was doing, you know what I mean?
Yes,
as far as the lyrics goes. And the whole vibe.
Now, I also read also in an interview, too, where it was another interview that you did that your first album was left in a laptop.
It was what?
That your first album, like, that was supposed to come out on D-Block Records, it was left in somebody's laptop.
Nah, what happened was after I left D-Block, you know, all the songs that I recorded, which was like 95 songs, they were left inside the D-Block studio, and I didn't have access to them. You know, they wouldn't give me the songs after I left.
Mm.
So, you know. I mean, hey, that'd still be some shit to be released today, man, if that was ever possible, man. That shit's still a bump right now.
Yeah, I'm thinking we need to go ahead and get somebody that's a good hacker, somebody to go ahead and get on their hacking job and get that out there. Because you know they're doing that real heavy, man. I mean, even I saw your post yesterday, like somebody tried to do that with your phone or whatnot. So I'm like, we need some of that hacking engine to get that music back.
Oh, nah, they did. Somebody stole my jack the other day, man, at the car dealership. I'm like, yo, this shit crazy, man. Like, yo, what the hell? You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, wow.
Yeah, man, it's something I would call crazy in the last days, where people just losing their minds. Especially with you being one of those guys that ain't afraid to call out the BS, because it's, you know, the industry today is full of bread and circuses.
Definitely.
It's like monkey business.
Definitely. Yeah,
and
man,
you
that's
was the first guy. Just, oh, go ahead.
No, I ain't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, I was gonna say too, and just like you said, you were the first guy to call out Tekashi. Not because you didn't like him, but because of what you felt he represented.
That's a fact. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you know, dude, I didn't really care. I wasn't really a fan of what, you know, his music or what he was doing or whatever the case be. But when I heard him say that he was a king in New York, I had to interject. I had to voice my opinion on that, because to me, that was just disrespectful to all the dudes that could be worthy of saying something like that but never did. So for him to say that, it's like, yeah, you totally out of pocket. Like, totally. So I had to speak on that and let people know exactly why he felt comfortable saying some of the things that he said, and why he was able to move around the way he moved. Because a lot of people were scared to speak on it.
I respected your rhyme and reason behind it, bro, because you had a legitimate reason. Like, a lot of people were just trying to catch on the wave when he was blowing up, but really, your reason was very legitimate.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, the thing about it, he seen all of that stuff. He heard what I was doing, but he responded. But the way he responded indirectly, you know, with little subliminal things, because he didn't want to say my name. Because if he would have said my name, that would have brought heavy light to me, and if he would have did that, that would have been a dangerous situation. Because we're not cut from the same cloth.
And you know what's crazy too is just how also hip hop has shape-shifted to where fanfare, they take on these shenanigans and they actually root for it. Like what you were doing, you was doing what, you know, what a real respectable MC would do. Is somebody claim they king, you disagree, you challenge them. I never heard of this term of clout chasing until 6ix9ine blew up.
Hey, yo, yo, that's crazy. I swear to God, I always say that, man. These young dudes, they're like, yo, when I first heard that term, they're like, yo, clout chasing. I'm like, yo, listen, man, first of all, that sounds stupid. Like, we never use that term, clout chasing, my nigga. Like, that shit sound whack as hell. That ain't what I'm doing. I don't know nothing about that or none of that type of shit. So, like, you're incorrect if you think that's what I'm doing. I'm just trying to put I'm speaking factual information. And I'm just voicing my opinion because everybody else seems scared to do that. So that's all it is, man. Ain't nobody trying to ride his wave. Ain't nobody trying to do none of that. If you talk big shit, you got to defend what you're saying, man. Period.
Yeah, man, because it bugged me out. Because that showed me right there that the dynamic has shifted, has changed for the worse. Because now, basically, we talked about this on many shows. You got basically cornballs being the injecting rhyme and reason behind what's going on with the culture now, because what you do was already certified and respected back then.
Yeah.
It's a weird old time.
It's definitely a weird old time. I mean, but that's the this is the period that we're existing in. You know what I mean? Everything do change, so you know, you just gotta accept that and know how to change with the times. But you gotta live within what's going on and not trade your integrity at the same time. So, you know, that's the dilemma that a lot of people have. But I know I would never convert to all this goofy shit these niggas be doing out here.
Yeah, man. And just like, and I want to commend you for this one here, because for some reason a lot of these industry niggas have let this slide. But when I seen what you said, the WAC 100 about what disrespecting Tupac, that was very commendable, man. That took what a real cat should say.
That's a fact, man. That dude is completely disrespectful on all levels, and I you can't respect no shit like that, period. I don't care who he's supposed to be, how many years he's been doing whatever that he's been doing. It's just like, yo, you have to give respect where respect is due, and that man is an absolute legend. He's contributed so much to the culture and us as a people. and you have no right to even fix your face, to even think about saying anything negative about him. You feel what I'm saying? Especially knowing the fact that you haven't did anything close to what he did, or will never be able to do anything close to that. So, you know, he tries to disrespect him every chance he gets, and that's not honorable, man. I don't care who won't speak on it. I don't care who's scared of him or what. Like, man, listen, it ain't even about being the toughest dude or none of that, but y'all fear no man, period. And if you speak on, first of all, Pac is my favorite rapper, favorite artist for various reasons. You know what I mean? I'm not saying he the most lyrical or none of that type of stuff, but he did stuff for me, you know, just as an artist. You know what I mean? Like, his music does something to me, and it been does something. Like, my mom's cried when Pac died. My whole family's on Pac. So it's like, I'm not going to, just me being a real one and a real man, I'm not going to let you disrespect someone that I have so much admiration for just like that. So if I got to speak on it, I'm going to speak on it and say what it is.
Amen to that, brother. Now, hold on, I got my man on, T-Max, on. He's on right now. Here's my co-host. T-Max, we got
okay,
Jay Hood
showing?
On.
What's going on, gentlemen? Jay Hood, what's good?
Yo,
man?
Yo.
T-Max and DA, what's going on, man? How you?
Hey, what's going on, man? Ain't nothing, man.
Good, man. Look, first off, we want to say it's a great honor and privilege to have you on the show. And I was just, you know, I just got off from work and everything, so I'm just, I caught the tail end of that last conversation. You know, obviously, you and King were talking about how you've managed to stay out of, the clown circus of, the current trends in the game, and also about how a lot of individuals, what Wack has said about, basically taking shots at Tupac, basically trying to tarnish that man's legacy. Where do you think all of this has come in hip-hop over the past few years, where you've had a lot of these non-rappers, as I would term it, where they have come in trying to capitalize off of insults, and the most egregious of insults and disrespecting dead artists? Where did we go wrong in terms of where the trend started changing in terms of the music and the lack of respect for the elders and the legends that, helped?
A lot of these dudes just lack guidance. They lack principles. They have no moral values. And they just wasn't brought up to, to view things the way we view things. And they just, I guess, they're incapable of, like, embracing the things that we embrace as far as being on a respectable level. They, like he said, they're doing the quote-unquote clout-chasing thing. They're doing whatever they can do just to gain the attention of people. They've seen, all it takes to get people's attention is to say something outrageous online. You know what I mean? So with that being said, they do that. And I guess they didn't got clout drunk. You know what I mean? They know that's all they got to do is do some silly shit, and niggas gonna look at them like, oh, man, da da da. So, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, the shit ain't cool, and the shit will never be cool to me. But some people just won't understand that shit is clown shit. They think that's the wave. I mean, but we was brought up differently, so I can't. You can't really explain it.
Definitely. Now, you're a seasoned veteran in the game, from over, 15 years ago from when we first saw you, of course, starting off, with the Locks and D-Block. And you have definitely carved out a notable and definitely a reputable niche for yourself as an artist. You were coming along right around that time, maybe a couple of years before social media, because Facebook really went public in, 2000? I guess around 2005, 2006, Facebook really started going public. Of course, Twitter and IG hadn't come around yet. So pretty much you were coming up in that era where, it was really about the skills and really honing your craft, coming in, saying something. And it's great to see years later that you're still adhering to those principles of what it means to be the consummate MC, fit and authenticity. Where do you see the game in terms of right now? What's happening as to why artists such as yourself, who still embody the raw, uncut, still are not getting that play that they should in reference to keeping it, just authentic?
I think that, I mean, what it is, like I was touching on this, no rainbow. I was touching on this with the homie a bit earlier before you came on. It's just like, you know, everything shifts and everything changes. You know, nothing ever stays the same.
Right.
The music that people listen to right now, they more into the, you know, the bassy songs with the heavy 808s, the repetitive hooks, the you know, the catchy melodies and things like that. So that's the wave that the younger people are into, and that's what they embrace. You know, and I can't knock them for it, because like I said, we came up loving something else. You know, and music changes. It doesn't stay the same. So, you know, cats like me that were more into the lyrical aspect of things. I mean, you got some that's out there doing their thing. I mean, of course, they're not as big as the artists that we were just speaking on just now. But I don't know. It's a different era. And like I said, the kids are the biggest consumers right now. So it's like whatever they like, that's what's going to be the biggest thing. I can't really speak on all the other artists that are similar to me as far as hardcore lyrics go, but I kind of have an idea why I didn't get to reach the level or hit the mainstream level like I was supposed to. And a lot of that has to do with the way I departed from my team, because that still, you know, plays a part in my career. And I could sit here and honestly tell you that affected me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Now, you talking about the dragon of the D block chain?
Yeah, all that type of stuff.
Definitely. And of course, on this show, we always pride ourselves on basically on the situation, but we're never out to insult our guests or whatever. But I guess it goes without saying that for where that wave was with the Locks at the time, in terms of what happened with that particular, you know, what led to kind of like your dissatisfaction. I read a couple of articles about what, you know, about, you know, some magazines about what you had said about there were some situations in reference to how you just felt like the business was not managed well, and especially the issue with the chain. And please correct me if I'm wrong when I say this, but you had said in one interview that part of your displeasure was the fact that you had to also pay for your chain that you were supposed to be a part of the clique with, where normally joining a crew, that chain is a gift to solidify your membership.
Absolutely.
Yes. And I guess also with that wave of what was going on as well, obviously when you're an artist who's nascent in his career, still trying to, you know, really, really take off, you know, I guess, you know, it is kind of a handicap when you're having issues with a more established set. Like you said, it does, unfortunately, in your case, contribute to maybe those glass ceilings being put up that stifle, you know, your ascent.
Growth.
Yeah,
definitely. And it's more so because it's a misconception. Even to this day,
right.
It's like people...
Right.
People have their view on why I might have left or why I did the things that I did. And you still even have some people that can't accept reality and they'd rather paint their own picture. You still have people that throw the I got kicked out thing out there, which is totally ludicrous. But people come up with their own, you know, their own stuff. I spoke on this multiple times. You know, my reason for leaving, I had, it was a collection of different things, but the main reason was because, you know, the business wasn't right. First and foremost, every deal that we had, which was two, we had two different label situations, just to clarify things. First label situation that we had was with Universal Motown. That was the first
right.
deal that we had for D-Block. We had, the deal was structured for a Sheik Lucha album and a Jay Hood album. Okay, she came
right.
out with his first album, then I was scheduled to come out. For all of those that don't know, Universal Motown is a major record label. So I was set to come out and release an album on the major. What happened was Sheik was displeased with the outcome of his album, so he decided to leave. And get a deal with Koch Records, which was an independent company. All
right,
so the thing with that is where I went wrong at, they could take the independent route because they had dropped the album prior. They was running with Puff Daddy, so people knew who they were. So that could have worked out beautifully, you know what I mean? But they talked me into leaving Universal, like I said, which was the major label, which I really needed to get where I was going to go because they would have gave me that push.
Yeah,
they talked me in, out of, you know, they talked me into leaving there and going with Koch. Chic exact words was, listen, man, come over here with us on Koch, and you could get $3.50 versus you staying on Universal getting 75 cents an album. So I'm like, listen, that's a no-brainer. You ain't got to tell me no more. Y'all the big homies, whatever you say, whatever. We out. So I left Universal, went to Koch, and with Koch, the deal was structured the same way, a Chic Luch album and a J-Hood album. Okay, now at this time, I was on fire. I was the hottest thing smoking. You know what I mean? Like, this is just no cap.
Which you are.
You know what I mean? So, and what Chic did, see, this is what people don't know. At the end of the day, D-Block is Chic's record label. Everybody would probably think that it's Kiss's. He's the front man of the line, so they think, yo, Kiss own it. Nah, it's Chic. That's Chic's label. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, we got the deal. They didn't want one album without the other. They wanted both. They wanted a Chic album and a J-Hood album. So, we signed the deal. Okay, now what Chic told me was, yo, listen, everybody wants my album to come out first since I'm more of a short shot. I was out already. Yada, 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 so I'm going to drop my album first. Which I knew that couldn't have been too true because, like I said, I was the highest thing smoking and everybody was waiting for Tales from the Hood. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, you know what? I know he's lying, but I'm going to be a team player. You feel me? Whatever. I'll let him drop again. Let him drop again. And, okay, what happened was during the time that I had signed the deal for Koch, I was waiting on my advance. And it just so happened while I was waiting on that advance, which was 3 weeks, 3 to 4, I say maybe even 4 weeks, 4 to 5 weeks. You're not supposed to wait realistically no longer than 7 days, a week and a half to get your advance after you sign the contract. So they had me waiting longer than what you were supposed to be waiting. Somebody took money out of the account, and I had to wait for them to replace that money for me to get my advance, which was total BS. You feel what I'm saying? So they was jerking me around from the gate. So my house ended up burning down. Lost everything.
Yeah, I read about that story where you had the money saved in there, correct? And
yeah, I had a couple bucks saved. I lost everything.
Yeah.
Lost the money. Lost like $15,000 worth of studio equipment that I had in the crib. Lost everything. Okay, now it took for that to happen for them to release my funds for my advance. And not only that, I ended up going down to Koch, which was something that I normally didn't do because I let them take care of everything. But due to the fact that I felt like they wasn't giving my project the same attention that they was a Chic Luch album, and I'm speaking about them, meaning like Chic and SP and them, you know, when it was time for Luch to drop his album, he used to go down there all the time and check on things and make sure that they was doing what they supposed to do. But when it was time for my album to drop, it was none of that. So something just told me to go down there and check on things. So I went down. And it just so happened that when I went down there to speak to the general manager of Koch, which was Alan Grumpler at the time, you know, upon me walking into the office, he said, yo, I'm sorry to hear about everything that happened. You know, the guys came down here and they let us know exactly what was going down. Said your house burned down and you needed help. So I hope the check that we gave you was enough to help. I'm like, what check? What are you talking about? I was totally, like, dumbfounded at what he was saying. Like, he was, yo, the $60,000 that we cut for you, they came in and said you needed help, so we gave them a check. I'm like, 60, what? They're like, yo, 60K. I'm like, man, I don't know what you're talking about. He like, what? You didn't get that? I'm like, nah, man. So I left. I'm like, hold up, man. These dudes cut these dudes a $60,000 check to give to me, and I didn't even get none of that. After that, I was like, yo, that raised eyebrows, that was a red flag and everything. So I'm like, you know what, on top of all the other stuff that's going on, you know, that I was already dealing with them, that was the icing on the cake. I'm like, yo, it's time
to
get up out of here.
Understood.
You know what I mean? So after that, my mind was made up. I wanted to leave. So now the whole beef was people have the misconception of I was mad because my album didn't drop. That's why I left. I was beyond that. At that point, I was beyond me being upset because my album didn't drop. I was upset And I was dragging the chain and doing all that other stuff, like I said, from a collection of different reasons. I was not only frustrated, I was heartbroken, you know, being young. Dudes that I was looking up to, I felt like they betrayed me. They wasn't, they didn't have my best interest at heart. You know, a lot of different things. And I just wasn't old enough to articulate myself in a well enough manner to not display emotion.
Right.
You know, so they didn't want to let me out of my contract. You know what I mean? So I had at least like 5 different labels that was interested in signing me. So they were trying to hold me until no one would be interested in me anymore. So that's
right.
Where the whole chain dragging and all that other stuff came in, because they didn't want to let me out, and I just got frustrated. Because I'm like, yeah, come on, if you're not making no money, how y'all going to get mad at me and don't want to let me out so I could go make money elsewhere? And I just got uptight. I was upset over that.
You know, and the funny thing is, Jay, you know, and this is no shade to the Locks at all, because we respect what they've accomplished. But when you figure, and we only say this on the air because, like I said, we deal with real facts. And we know about the situation that they dealt with Puffy in terms of how that situation transpired in reference to what was going on with that situation with Bad Boy that led them to Let the Locks Go campaign. So, you know, it's kind of ironic that for what happened to you with them, you think they might have been a little bit more sympathetic, understanding they had pretty much went through the same thing at the time, you
right.
know, when they were trying to get off, you know. But one thing, and we have talked about this on the show so many times in reference to the politics in the music industry, man, it's dirty. It is dirty.
It's filthy. Because I got the bad end of the stick even after that, you know what I mean? Like, I was just trying to defend myself, you feel what I'm saying? Like, I'm going up against the lyrical powerhouse, people that been in the game for a minute, so people look at them like they could do no wrong, people looking at me like the things I'm saying can't be factual, and they're not looking at things logically, you know what I mean, because of who these people are. I'm like, listen, man, I'm just trying to defend myself. I just want to be out of this situation and be able to go to another situation to get money. At the time, I was the only provider in my family. I had to take care of my mother. My 2 sisters, one of them was autistic, so I had a lot of pressure on me. A lot of things was on my plate,
right.
So I'm like, yo, they trying to stop me from making money, man. I can't rock with this. You know what I mean? My mother had liver disease, so I just had a lot on my plate, man. And people don't understand that. And I ended up being the short end of the stick.
You know, doll, and that's something real, because the fact is before the money, before the fame, before the celebrity, people have to understand with artists in general, you all are people first and foremost, you know, and, you know, there are real family ties. There are real situations and issues that entail you basically being the one, you know, to pull through. I was watching an interview with Joe Moses last year. And he was talking about basically, you know, he's the bread, you know, a shout out to 5-4, you know, out in California, Van Ness, y'all know what it is on the west side. You know, and basically Joe is like basically, you know, doing it for his family right now in terms of him being the main man, you know, bringing it in.
Yeah.
You know, so it's real out there. And I think a lot of people really don't understand that in the business, first and foremost, having your affairs in order is one thing, and it's also knowing the crews that you are affiliated with. And your story is really, you know, similar to a lot of other artists over the years where they got in business deals that at the end of it did not turn out the way they thought it was in terms of the people they dealt with, in terms of where everything was supposed to be structured in a fashion that was honorable, where at the end it was anything but.
Right.
You know, you know, there's
a lot
a
of people get
theme of what. Oh, go ahead.
Nah, so I didn't mean to cut you off. What you gonna say?
No, I said it's just like what we constantly talk about on the show when we reference the Straight Outta Compton movie. You know, in terms of when we found, you know, when that whole situation with Easy and Dre, you know, which was further cemented with the BET documentary that they did last year. You know, about when Dre found out how much money he was not getting. You know, but
yeah.
He was his man, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, Dre found out he getting, what, 3 cents a record. We were like, what?
Crazy.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I got
you know, another thing, people. people are confused, and they still confused, and they still throw this out there. A lot of people will be like, yo, but, you know, and I'm not even going to lie to you. It doesn't bother me as much now, but it bothered me a long time ago. People try to throw the disloyal label on me. You feel what I'm saying? And I was everything but that.
Right.
I'm like, listen, man, I helped create this label and was a co-founder of it, but at the time when I was young, I didn't really throw the co-founder title out there like that because I didn't really care about it. I didn't see the importance of it. But as I grew older, I'm like, you know what? I really was a co-founder of this. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like, first of all, they look at that and be like, nah, he ain't co-founded. But let's look at reality. The locks are the locks, and there was no D-Block till I stepped on the scene. Okay, so that's number one. Okay, number two, they'd be like, yo, but he tried to, and I said that to say this. I was there for 7 years without dropping the album. So if that's not loyal, I don't know what else is. I don't know too many people that would have stayed in a situation where they wasn't getting what they're supposed to, you know, what they deserve, and they still would have stayed there. So it's like I was in a lose-lose situation because even if I wouldn't have left, people would have looked at me like, yo, you stupid for staying in and you're not dropping the album. You leave, you stupid for leaving there. So it's like you can't please everybody. So with all the things that were going on, like I said, I felt like they put me in a corner to the point where I had to defend myself. So what I did was I took a couple different label meetings. One of those label meetings was with 50.
You got a partner.
You know, and I read a lot of books. I'm a reader. One of the books that I read early on was The Art of War. You have to crush your enemy totally. Yeah, crush your enemy totally.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm like, you know what? They're cutting me off from the radio. So what can I do to hit them in the gut? I'm like, you know what? Let me take a meeting with our so-called arch nemesis. That's going to gut shot them. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to feel that. So I end up taking a meeting with 50. My intention was never to really sign with him. It was just for the shock value. You know what I mean?
Strategic.
So, yeah, it was some real strategic shit. I took the meeting with him. I knew that was going to leak out to the public. You know, shortly after that, he ended up having a little concert in New York in the Bronx, and he did one in Queens and a couple of different other places where he brought people out. But I heard that he was doing a concert in the Bronx. I'm like, you know what? Let me put the icing on the cake. Go out there while he's performing and come out with him. You know what I mean? That's going to be the jab after the gut shot. So I got in contact with him. You know, actually, that was right after I drugged the chain. I drugged the chain on the way to the concert. And the chain dragging thing was because there was rumors going around on the net that Sheik had took my chain. So I reacted to it like, you know, real immaturely. I drugged my chain as a symbolization of...
Patient, y'all.
Drugged the chain as a symbolization of how I felt like they was doing to my career. They was dragging me, so I did that. Not saying that it was the smartest thing to do because, you know, I probably wouldn't have did it now. Now that I think about it, but that's what that was. And I went on stage with 50. And, you know, a lot of people just got the wrong idea from that. They're like, yo, he was trying to sign with them. And, nah, I never was trying to sign with them, man. It was all the Art of War type thing, man.
Definitely.
And that was the same concert that had Jim Jones there and...
He bought. Who did he bring out with me before that? He bought Jim out at another one, but he had bought Remy out at one, and then he bought me out at another one. But we was in the Bronx at Jimmy's Cafe.
Yeah, man. This is Off the Cuff Radio. We are on the air live. King Eric the Ruler, myself, T Max with the Facts, with our one, the only. NYC Luminary J Hood.
Yes,
call number is 1-619-924-0703. Sponsored by Da Vinci Clothing.
And you know what? I still love them to this day, and I'm still the fourth lot. You feel what I'm saying? I'm Dolo. I do my own solo thing, but I'm still the fourth lot. And y'all can pick up that fourth lot album as well too. That's out there, out in the world.
Yes, yes. Plug everything, dog. Plug everything.
Fourth
you know,
Lock album, the Joshua album, the Savages album. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Plug it all. Plug it all. That's what we got
yes, sir.
You for, man. Tell everything. You know, and what you said, Hood, really, really resonates with me, man, because what you talk about, the loyalty and everything, you know, there are some situations that you know of, especially being in the industry and being an insider on it. We know about how a lot of artists who are signed to labels basically languish. You know, for those of our listeners who know what I'm kind of hinting at, I'm not going to say no names, but there was a situation where an artist and his artist, after a few years of, you know, estrangement, reconciled because there was a miscommunication and misunderstanding in terms of how that artist's album was supposed to be promoted, which they blamed that person for. And you probably, you yourself probably have an idea, although there's probably like 100 different stories. But,
yeah.
But you know, the hint, it has to do with what you just said earlier about where y'all were at, you know, at Jimmy's Bronx Cafe. So you
yeah.
all, yeah, so you know about that already. But a lot of people got to understand that with being an artist, it takes time, you know, because there's a lot of business that's involved.
A lot of development.
Over your experiences, what have you learned in terms of the elements of being on a major and then being on the independent route in terms of really, because it's a hustle on either side, getting your music out there for the people to hear it. What have you learned in reference to how that hustle goes?
Oh, well, what I tell you is this. I'll try to simplify it as much as I can. Being on a major.
You got plenty of time, so tell the whole story.
Yeah, you know, being on the major, obviously, they do a lot of the things for you. You know what I mean? It's more of a well-oiled machine when you're on the major.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they do absolutely everything, as opposed to indie, where you have to do all of the legwork, do the footwork. You have to have the stamina, and you have to be willing to do that footwork. You know what I mean? Because it's a lot of work. Independent route isn't for the average person, you know what I mean, because you have to really be out there in the mud, you know, you have to be getting gritty and getting dirty, and you have to be dedicated, you know what I mean, you have to be determined, so it's not for the weak, you
yep.
know, the
and you
the
know
pie,
what,
you got to press up your own records, you got to press up your
yeah,
own
the
records,
pie, the slice of the pie is way bigger, you get more, but it's a reason you get more, it's because you got to put in that work.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't understand this because, you know, when you're dealing with guys like Master Ace, you know, Cormega, you know, shout out to Brooklyn and QB, of course, you know, those guys had already established a following, and I'm just using them as examples. They had already had a solid base where when you go on an independent label, you know, there's a difference between, like, you know, when you have Bob Perry, who runs Landspeed Records, and, of course, Alan Greenblatt, you know what I'm saying, those guys who run independent labels on Koch, you're dealing with a situation where, and, you know, this is just me being a nerd in the game from everything, if I can, you know, indulge a little bit. You know, there's on an average label, and please correct my math if I'm wrong anytime, usually on a major label, the standard for a major artist like Mariah Carey with Houston status is about $3 an album if you're on a major, whereas on an independent, you can make about a good $7 to $8, but you are responsible for your advertising. You know, basically, they'll press up your records and get them distributed, but you basically have to do everything in terms of getting your advertising, in terms of the magazines, all of that.
It all depends on how your deal is structured. You know what I mean? But
okay,
being on
ahead,
a major, though, I tell you this. Being on a major, the average artist only gets 65 cents.
That's
album.
Why I said the Mariah and Whitney status, because those are major, major sellers.
Yeah, and they might have been getting like $2 or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's no.
Right.
Like, and that's might. But the average, 65 cents. You want to,
right.
Indie, depending on how your deal is structured, you may make anywhere from, you know, $3 to $5 because the distributor has to collect the production costs and they have to, you know, make back what they put in for distributing your music. And, you know, some distributors, some independent distributors, they take care of some promotion for you. They do some marketing. You know, you have some labels like Koch that used to do a lot of the promotion for, you know, groups like Dipset and, you know, things like that. And then you have some where you have to be completely responsible for your own. So it just all depends on the structure of your deal that you have with these people. But a lot of the times on an independent label, you're doing all that yourself. Like you said, you have to put a lot of your own money in there. You have to have your own street team, your own marketing team. A lot of late nights, you're going to have to stay up. You're gonna have to do all that type of stuff, man, if you want to reap the benefits.
Yeah. I know with Slim Thug, he was talking about when he was doing his album, he was on a one album, like I think he was talking about when he was doing his deal back in the day, he was on an album, two album deal, you know, in terms of like one album, you know, per deal.
Yeah, the one
and done.
Of course,
Jim Jones. Yeah, the one and done. Jim Jones used to crack me up where he said we break. He's like, we would get out of contracts all the time. Nobody breaks contracts like us, which I found hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, of course, what was going on with Dipset at the time when they had their way.
I respect the hell out of Cam and Jim, because one thing I always say, man, they made a way for everybody that was involved in their camp to eat. He put out everybody over there. You feel what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Not to be funny, but when Freaky Ziggy dropped his album, that's when I knew it was time for me to go and leave D-Block.
Oh,
you know what I mean? I'm like, listen, this dude then went to jail for like 3 or 4 years, and I ain't dropped before he came. I mean, before he went to jail, and now he's out and he's dropping before me. Oh, nah, I gotta bounce.
Yeah, like Michael Corleone said, it's not
really
personal,
a rapper
it's just
like
business.
That. He was just like the homie.
That's a fact.
To
yeah.
A lot of porn.
Yeah, it's time for me to burn the road up.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Zeke, man. Really good guy. I had the pleasure to meet all.
That's a fact. Shout out to Freaky, man. Freaky.
Man, really good dude. 731, man. You know, he's Rivado,
yeah.
Cam, Jewel, the whole clique, man. They're all good guys, man.
Yes, sir.
I think Zeke's still out here, I believe.
Yeah, Zeke went around. He be running around in the CAC.
I'm about to track
man.
Him down.
Hey, man, we can get him. That'd be great. So, yeah, man, so over the years, man, I mean, but pretty much where do you see the rap game heading to now in terms of where you're at and your place being an established veteran and, you know, a respected one, even with everything you've dealt with? Because you've overcome a lot, man. And to say, and for you to still be here and still, you know, representing, man, is a testament to your tenacity and perseverance. You know, where do you see hip-hop heading from what we're seeing now, with it becoming more and more of a, I guess, mainstreaming in a sense?
I think it's going to be in a split state. You're going to have those that love and can't let the real hip-hop and the real hip-hop aspect of things go, and they just going to love that forever. Then you're going to have the ones that just love the turn-up music. And we're gonna just gonna have to coincide with one another, like, and that's just what it's gonna be. Because the younger, you have some young dudes that respect real hip hop, but the majority of them just like their turn up. You know what I mean? And the older cats, they're not gonna let the lyricism go. So, I mean, I don't know. Right now, we're living in the SoundCloud age. We're living in the social media age. So it's, you know. It's a beautiful thing, but at the same time, it has its pros and cons. It has its pros because it gives young African American men the opportunity to become business moguls, and it gives them a chance to, like I said earlier, to generate revenue and become their own bosses. So in that light, it's an awesome thing, but it's diluted. It's like the quality of music isn't the same. So it's like, you know, they're not taking that much pride into making the music. Anybody can rap now. You don't even have to really be a rapper. You don't have to be a rapper for that long to get on. All you have to do is, it's real gimmicky, you know, get a couple face tattoos, get a crazy beat with 808s, get a melodic hook, you know, shoot a little video, and you in there. You in the money. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I just see it, like I said, it's going to be split for a minute.
They created.
Go ahead, King.
They created the lane to where it's not really challenging to be a rapper, because I remember when I started listening to this, I used to be like hypnotized listening to guys coming up, and I'm like, man, there's no possible way I could do it with these niggas doing it. Like, you have to be really skilled. So now it's diluted to where now I feel like I could put out an album tomorrow and go gold in my city.
Yeah, dudes be like, yo, man, I just started rapping 8 months ago, man. And this is the hottest dude right now. He be like, yo, hold up, man. Yeah, something ain't right, man. Hold up. You just started rapping, and you got dudes that really been doing this for life, done put their blood, sweat, and tears in this, and they not even where they're supposed to be. And it's crazy. Not to take nothing away from nobody else, but it just shows you, like, how the game go and how messed up it is and the state of it.
I think also, too, that the
grit,
the grit and dedication then got lost, too, because we talked about it earlier, because to really get your voice and your music out there, you had to really be in the trenches. Whereas
the trenches.
Yes. The trenches. Now,
yeah.
now it's like you can record something, it sounds like the next nigga. Next thing you know, you can put it on SoundCloud or you can put it on YouTube. Of course, you got to eat a Tide Pod with it.
Yeah.
And bam.
You know, throw your little sister pants on or your little brother pants on. You know what I'm saying? And you Gucci great.
You know,
Gucci
but
great.
It's funny because when we look at the situations where it's gone, because a lot of the time with this instant, you know, with the social media era that we live in. You know, we're all older, but we're not old. And we still respect what the youngins do, you know, who really have an authentic appreciation. But I think the biggest thing that a lot of youngins got to understand is in the game is that this is not something where you may have a song that's hot in your hood that may translate to worldwide or even regional success, depending on who you are, because it's also about the market that you come up in. You know, you know, you got guys who shall remain nameless who come from certain hoods that basically they never get outside of it, and they're never as hot as they think they are. And then
right.
You got guys like Sauce Walker and Sosa Man, Reverend Houston, that are basically regional favorites, but they got songs that are like reaching way out of Texas. You know, You know, and it's like they actually got a, you know, they develop a following, but they've already, but there's like, while they're not known, you know, like having that major celebrity, their music has gotten outside to where it helps them to get known more. Plus,
it broke that local barrier.
Yeah, they broke it, exactly. And a lot of artists, you know, in a lot of places, it's harder. Hold on one second.
Plus, you got to realize, too, what a lot of people do in the industry is that they'll take ideas and start biting from the underground. Then they blow up.
Oh, definitely. You see that happening every day.
Yeah, I'm right back. Yeah, but it's definitely like you said, you know, but the biggest issue is that, you know, like I just said, you know, you have to know the market of where you're at in terms of to facilitate your growth. And you know, like you said, Hood, when you're dealing with it, when you break that region, when your shit goes outside of your area and you're actually doing shows, I mean, YouTube is not the barometer, but it's a great, great barometer. Because when I look at YouTube comments from, you know, videos, I look at, number one, what is the most recent, and then I'm looking at where these people are posting from. And I would tell any artist, that shows how your music is getting reach outside of where you're at. You know, when you have people all over the world who are listening, you know, the 2 million, 3 million club is great. It's rarefied air at times. But when you actually are, like, really getting that reach for people of, like, all over, like, Poland, Russia, Iran, you know, India, you know, all over the world, and they're fucking with your shit, man, you know, you know you're major.
Right.
You know, you know you're just not local, but it's some of these artists, they want to try to act like they're all this, that, and the other, but the reality is they never get outside their hood, and it's like, it's almost like, you know, you can play on a certain level in terms of maybe, you know, you can be the man in your town, but if it actually, you got to compare your shit with everybody else from other areas, you find out you're not as great as you thought you were.
Right.
And I think a lot of artists need to humble themselves in terms of where they're at, because it's like, yo, you got, like, for some of these local artists, depending where they're at, I'm like, you got artists that may have not made it, quote unquote, super big, but their bank accounts are pretty damn big. You know,
yeah,
their
yeah.
Their tax returns are financed by that.
Cats got their ego about them too, man. They got their ego about them too. It's like they don't want to be seen as going indie because they look at it like their perception stock is going to take a hit. But at the same time, the money going to be a little bit better. But you know how niggas do. They going to look at it like, man, I just went from Sony to Koch. That's going to make me look like a bum.
Yeah, I mean, if you ain't putting that twerk in, boy, you know what I mean? Like, if you know what you're doing and you're ready to go out there and grind, it could be a total different situation.
Right.
I mean, you look at what happened with you look at what happened with Raekwon, you know, when he ended up, you know, going independent, you know what I'm saying? Independent is great, you know, like I said, once you have that audience, when you know you have it, independent is great because you're not needing a major to push you because your reputation of dope music is going to push you. A lot of artists talk about how they want a major label deal, but I'm like, you don't understand what goes on a major. And that's why you have some artists. Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's a lot that goes into it. You know, but definitely, man. You know, but it's something that is, you know, you've really given us some insight in terms of what goes on in the inner workings and, you know, perseverance and just how the business runs, man. You know, and most importantly, keeping your integrity and, you know, your passion, you know, for it. And we can't thank you enough for joining us.
He's a stand-up guy, man. Because he was a stand-up guy because he's the one that checked 50 for endorsing the 6ix9ine situation when he was talking about. And one of his posts, he said that he was basically the hottest dude in New York. All these rappers ain't really working hard like him. And Jay Hook intervened and was like, look, man, you ain't got that machine behind. A lot of this, a million talented New Yorkers out here. There's a million talented people in the East Coast. But they don't have that Uzi and Grange machine behind
them. Yeah, no, right. No, he wasn't. At the time, I just felt like he was wave riding. You know what I mean? Like, you're too big of an artist. And, you know, you don't have to do that, man. Yeah, you well established. People looking at you in a certain light already. You shouldn't be endorsing, you know, the goofy shit. You know what I mean? Like, so that's all that was about.
Now, I do want to ask you about this. With Soulja Boy basically coming back into the game on his media blitz right now.
I ain't gonna lie. I fuck with Young Draco. I fuck with Draco, man. That nigga, dude is funny as hell, man. He's hilarious.
What do you think?
I mean, and you know what's so crazy? A lot of the stuff that he's saying, he's speaking some facts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was the first to really be the one to really use the internet. He is right about that. Now, in terms of where you see it for him, because I think, and we definitely respect his hustle because he definitely has done it on a, you know, his level in terms of what he's accomplished. Do you see a possibility that he might be able to maybe reinvent himself? Is what they call in Hollywood the second act. Do you think there's a possibility that maybe he might be able to get himself back into the game?
I mean, he's doing a pretty good job right now. He just got to capitalize off of it in the correct way. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't know. I think he has his core base. I really don't know. I don't know if he could get any bigger than what he is right now. But,
right.
He got to hit a home run.
That's just something that we're gonna have to see.
He's gonna have to
definitely
hit a home run.
Yeah, he might. All he need is one good joint. You know what I'm saying? And he out the park.
Definitely, man.
And plus he got that Gucci.
Drake.
He got a deal for the Gucci. I think he sold that Gucci band.
Drake?
About 10 stack.
The Gucci
band?
What?
I think he sold that.
I ain't gonna hold you. I said the other day
He need to throw
that Gucci headband on the power line like some old Timbs, man. He got the guts out that joint.
He wore that thing for a good month.
Yeah.
He wore that thing for a good month.
Yeah, that joint looking like a paper towel, man. Nigga,
oh,
they used, I ran full court.
You start seeing that. You start seeing them edges starting to thin out a little bit.
Fact, they was, you know, they was looking like the collar on the wrinkled T-shirt, nigga, that didn't wore Wild Times and all that.
Man, oh man, oh wow.
Yeah, big soldier,
yeah,
though, Draco. Shout out to the kid.
So it turns out,
oh, yeah,
artists coming up in the game. Oh, go ahead, King.
Yeah, I was gonna say that we need more entertainment from Draco for 2019. Cause even though Tekashi's gone, Soulja Boy done fill that lane up.
Yeah, I'd rather see Soulja doing that. You know what I mean? Like the kid 6ix9ine, you know, he was just too out of here. Like, he doing too much. Draco, funny. At least I could laugh at that. 6ix9ine, I look at him like, yo, you, this dude's an idiot. Yeah.
Plus, he ain't telling nobody to, cause even though he violated Tiger a little bit, he ain't telling Tiger to suck his dick and all that stuff.
Yeah, all that silly goofy shit, man. Like, come on, man. You wildin'.
Now
we
on the serious
note,
because
yeah, he's definitely not no new Death Row, no old Death Row, no Death Row. Like, get out of here, man. Let's be serious.
Now we do want to get your thoughts on that too, and we always find ourselves talking about that dude once the show. What is the biggest lesson that a lot of up and coming artists could learn? Because you know, we laugh and joke about the whole situation, but in the reality of it, he's got himself caught up in some serious stuff in reference to what has happened. And he played around with a situation in terms of a lot of ratchetness that I don't think he really understood.
You just have to be more conscious of what you're doing, man. And you got to think about, is some of this shit worth it? You know what I mean? Like, is the fame worth you losing your freedom over? You know what I mean? Like, and like I said, be conscious of what you're doing and the people that you have around you. You have to move strategically. You feel what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You have to be smart about what you're doing, period. And that's what's going to keep you out of a lot of dumb shit.
Yeah, because when I saw what he was looking at with that whole situation, and they were saying 10 years to life in prison, I'm like, this is serious.
You know, what I can't take away from him is he was an excellent market. I mean, he had an excellent marketing strategy. But he kept some dudes around him that were still out there in the streets doing dirt. At that,
right.
When you're that big, you can't move like that, because you're going to be connected to all these dudes because you're the money source. So when anything happens, they're going to be looking at you like you're the head of it. Like, you got to be smarter than that.
And that's why they're going after him first for that whole case.
Yeah. You can't do that. It's like that's not smart. Number one. Number two, it's like, yo, my man, like, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know this type of stuff. Like, you're doing all type of stuff on live and on all these social media networks. Like, you don't know the feds is watching. Like, you don't know the cops is looking at all this, and you making hits online and doing all type of dumb stuff. It's like, come on, man, it's not going to last. It's inevitable.
Yeah. And you know, when that situation came down, they were going to squeeze him first because, like you said, he's the money man. So, whatever.
And I said that from the gate. My first time speaking about dude, I'm like, yo, listen, I told dudes why he was moving around the way he was moving and why he was comfortable moving like that. And I'm like, yo, listen, he's only able to move like that because he's a money bag for such and such. And when everything happened, now look, it's like, yo, come on, I said this from the gate.
They were trying to say you was a hater.
Yeah, I'm just telling the truth because everybody else was scared. Or at the time, they were scared to speak on it. They didn't want them to pull up on them and all that. But, man, listen, it is what it is.
Well, one thing about it, I think a lot of times, too, and we've seen artists who get out there, you know, in terms of where they have a certain amount of celebrity, and they start acting crazy, and they think, like, they can't be touched. But I tell anybody, you're only one situation away. You know, I mean, I look at what happened, you know, with Chris Brown. You know, and Chris is, you know, I love Chris to death, man. Great artist. Closest thing to Michael Jackson we got today. But Chris has had some well-documented, wild situations. And that situation that happened in Paris where he got arrested, you know, and, of course, he got off on those rape charges after they found out, you know, it wasn't nothing. But it's like, like you said, you got to move different.
Yeah, you can't put yourself in certain situations. So that stuff like that could even happen. Like, nah. Like, Chris the little
especially
homie,
when you walk. Right. Especially
when you're that
you
big, though.
You have a certain reputation. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I definitely tell anybody, man.
Can't be moving.
You know.
Can't move with groupies like that no more. These cats got to start moving with
wrestling. Yeah, that's a fact. You got to move with some chicks that you've been messing with for a minute that you know how, you know, that they ain't going to get you jammed up and all that.
Exactly.
Yeah, them days of throwing groupies around like rock stars going to be a dub in 2019.
Facts. Everybody looking for a come up.
That's true.
That's about
that's
to be a
real
rap.
Yes, sir.
But you know what,
definitely,
I'm gonna add my little conspiracy spin to it. You know who I think set that whole thing up for Chris Brown?
Who that?
What's that?
Jacquees, aka Big Queez. He trying to get the
man,
crown.
The King of R&B.
Let me drop that bomb.
Oh, Lord.
Not the King of R&B.
Set the whole thing up.
Ah, man. That's the king,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, because we already got Kells going, Dan. Now we got Chris Brown. Now, who's left?
He knocking him out like bowling pins.
Trey Songz next.
Nah, don't say that. Not my nigga.
Yeah.
True.
He gonna be Mr. Steal the wrong chick.
Ah, man. He got his little joint right now. He in love. Let that man rock, man.
You trying to get him called.
man.
That's I had to
funny.
Throw that out there, man. But
yeah.
We're going to wrap this thing up shortly. And
yeah, definitely,
before,
man. Yo, look,
go,
appreciate
man.
Y'all having me, man. Everybody that's listening, make sure y'all go out and cop my latest album, Joshua. Make sure y'all cop the Savages album with Yuck Mouth. Make sure you cop the Fourth Lock album that's out as well. And you also need to grab up the Best of Jay Hood, Life After the Block. All that is out online right now. And then follow me on all my social medias at The Real Jay Hood. That's THEREALJHOOD. You know, get at me, man. You want to do a feature, holler at me, man. I got some good rates. You know what I mean? So let's get it shaking.
Well,
yeah, my party's in Charlotte. Got a party going on in Charlotte, February the 15th for All Star Weekend. It's at Club Mirage. Pull up on me and party with a real one, man. Show your boy some lit off. You heard me?
King, I'm gonna be looking for pictures, man.
Yes, sir.
Hey, who you picking for the Super Bowl?
I mean, even though they jerked the Saints, I'm not gonna hold you. They jerked the Saints. They robbed them.
That was T.I.
They robbed him. Who I'm running with, man? I'm not going to lie, man. I would like to see somebody else run with it, man. So I got to go with the Rams. See, my team got dumped out of it a long time ago. So after that, I was running with the Saints, but they got jerked. So, you know what I mean? You know, I'm going to say the Rams.
I'm going to let y'all guys know what to expect. If you see 45 send a tweet or you see Mike Pence there, the Patriots got this.
Okay.
It's a wrap.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past him, man. You know, this joint look pretty rigged to me. So, I mean, he might be right.
Yeah, if you see Pence, because he showed up last time and they end up coming back all of a sudden 30 points down. So my 10-4 hat is on right now. I'm about to get on my, if this thing really happens, I'm going to get on my Alex Jones on the next show.
Pull it up, though.
I'm going to get y'all the
big,
truth.
Big facts.
Man.
But yeah, we definitely appreciate
we'll
you
see.
Chopping it up with us, man.
Yeah, man, yo, it's all good. Appreciate y'all having me, man. And, you know, stay tuned in to your boy, man.
We will, man. Look forward to having you back for a future show, man. Thank you so much again, man. Thank you.
No doubt. Salute to both of y'all, man. Appreciate it.
Respect.
No doubt.
All right, G's, y'all be easy.
All right, man. Be safe. One.
All right, peace.
Yes, sir. I'm going to let you guys know that was Jay Hood that just chopped it up with us. We're going to have the clips of the show along with the entire episode of the show up on YouTube. We'll have it on SoundCloud soon as well. And also, I want to say that be sure to follow Jay Hood, download his music, buy his music. Don't bootleg it. Cause we going after y'all like Onyx.
Well, hey King, what was that old song back today about the hood rat? She bootlegged, you get the galay pro, nigga.
Bitch ass bootleg a motherfucker selling my tape. You get shot.
Yeah,
you know what
I'm
gonna add
that
on the next show we do. I'm gonna add that as a skit. I'm gonna add that up there. That's gonna be the next skit we're gonna add up there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, but definitely.
But I'm gonna let y'all know too that we also affiliated with Buddy Boy Entertainment. Big shout out to Uncle Coke, aka Cocaine. He got the new album dropping in March called Finger Roll. You better cop that. We pushing the hell out of that heavy. We got that.
Yeah, produced by West Coast Stone. We can't forget that.
Yeah. And we got moves going on for Da Vinci Clothing. Follow us on Da Vinci on Instagram.
Definitely, man. Look, 19 and we still doing big things, man. 2019 is, look, OTC, you know, off the cuff. It also means we out for the crown as well, man. So, look, we still putting it down and we're going to continue to do so.
Yes, indeed. And be on lookout for Sunday. We're going to meet, we reunite with Illar the Sandman and Ace Boogie. We're going to do the Royal Rumble special at 12 o'clock Eastern. So be a part of that.
Definitely.
And I also want to send a big shout-out to everybody that sent us the drops. I introduced the new drops on the intro of the show. Big shout-out to everybody that participated, and took the time to show us love and to check out the show. And we promise to deliver more material for y'all for 2019. Be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us. Leave comments. Talk smack. Whatever. Just come with a lot of smoke.
Definitely. We're here. We are there. We are everywhere. You know, so like I said, man, look, we're not going nowhere.
For sure. So we're going to see you guys Sunday afternoon. I ain't going to be able to do a show tomorrow because I got a lot of things going. But Sunday, we're going to be back with the special Royal Rumble show. Definitely pull up. We're going to be talking some wrestling talk.
Yeah. All right, and on that note, we is outie.